Glory to God. Hey, brother. Hallelujah. For those that haven't been here, I'm going to just capsulize a little bit of what we've covered. And if you want more detail, they're on the previous tapes. I'd recommend you get them. The Lord did give me some unusual instructions when he called me into the ministry full time. And I thought he was being mean. I never heard of him telling anybody else to do this. You know, I believe in taking up offerings. Glory to God, you know. But he said, take up no offerings, sell no tapes. He said, when they start asking for you to send the tapes to the friends and relatives, we'll send them free. You buy the mailers. You buy the postage. And, you know, I was starting to get, and he'd already told me, by the way, it's not my will for you to ever hold a secular job again the longest day you live. So there went that limb cut off the tree, and now no offerings, and now sell no tapes. And, you know, you buy these mailers. And so I'm getting kind of nervous, you know, and I said, can I at least put in a return envelope? No, you can't put in a return envelope. And I'm going, oh, God. And then that last one, he says, oh, and one other thing, son, don't ever let another human being know about any need that you have at all. I want you to turn to me and me alone as your source. And I thought that was just awfully mean, George. You know, I really did. But see, it put me in a position. It put me in a position of having to find out once and for all, how does the kingdom of God work when it comes to finances? Can you understand the seriousness of it? I mean, we have bills. Here's my wife, Sue, and my daughter, Erin. I have a car payment, you know, like anybody else at the time, and we have a rent payment and a water bill and the electric bill, and they got this bad eating habit. They want to eat every day. I mean, it's just a daily thing with them. They like to eat every day, you know, and I mean, can you understand? I had to find out how this worked, and I had to find out yesterday because the bills keep coming. Have y'all noticed that? Well, I immediately started going into all the formulas that I'd ever learned, which we'd been saved 15 years or so. And we chewed our Copeland Hagen well. Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagen, hallelujah. Jerry Seville, Fred Price. I mean, I knew all of them. I knew all of the formulas. I knew all of the... I devoured all those tapes like the rest of you have. Thank God for them. See? I only had one problem. I never could get them to work for me. You know, I do everything they said. I did it to the max. And I was telling them one night, like the hundredfold return when I first heard about the hundred. And it's in there. Don't get me wrong. It's in there. But the way we hear it's wrong. See? And so when I heard about the... And it's really what LaRue said is because we got us on our mind and not the kingdom on our mind. By the way, most of those parables you don't understand is because when you read them, you still got you on your mind. When as the Holy Ghost continues to deal with you and he'll start putting the heart of Jesus in you, where you understand that what he's after is the sheep, the lost ones, you'll start understanding those difficult parables, which we don't have time to go into tonight. But that's what's wrong. That's what's wrong. We still got us on our mind. See? Anyway. No extra charge for that. Well, I had to find out how this worked. I mean, everything I had ever learned about prosperity message, I went back, I restudied it, I was putting everything, I mean, I was dotting the I's, crossing the T's, you know what I'm saying? I was leaving no stone unturned because this had to work and this had to work. Now, to me, yeah, I mean, I felt like this. I said, Lord, when you told Peter, you know, when Peter got out and walked on the water, at least he had water to walk on. This is like air. I mean, there's nothing. You've taken every source of income away, both in the natural and even what would normally be called ministry income. You know, I don't understand this. Well, have y'all ever tried to talk the Lord into changing his mind? You forget that. It isn't going to happen. You know, our job is to hear and obey, and we better pray. Okay? Hear and obey. Well, we started doing it, and I mean, I'm dotting the I's, I'm crossing the T's, I'm making sure, well, we're watching our giving, and I'm doing everything I know to do, and sweating BBs, you know, and God gave me some instructions, which I had a hard time following, which he wanted me to start speaking his word a lot. 4 hours a day, he wanted me to be confessing the word. I talked about that last night, because I had a poverty doctrine in me. The problem was, every time that we tried to make a run at the prosperity message, I could only go so far, and I'd hit this poverty doctrine that was put in me as a child. That, you know, I just believed it in my heart in abundance, regardless of what I was trying to do with my head. It would hit that poverty doctrine, which said you can't have stuff and love God. I mean, it was just in me, you know. Well, he wanted me to take his word, use it like a hammer, and start pounding on that stone of unbelief that was in me. I talked about this last night. 4 hours a day, he had me confess three scriptures, 2 Corinthians 8:9, which is, for you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. And in my case, Psalms 34:10, which says, the young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord, now seek the Lord, shall not lack any good thing. And in our old friend, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. As I said last night, I didn't realize why he wanted me to do that, but as I would confess those scriptures, it was like taking a sledgehammer on that poverty doctrine that told me God wanted me poor, you know. And it was going, my God supplies all of my need. Bam! According to his riches and glory. Bam! By Christ Jesus. Bam! You know, the young lions do hunger and suffer lack. Bam! But those that seek the Lord, bam, shall not lack any good thing. Well, that went on for weeks, 4 hours a day. Don't imitate me. You do whatever. You may not be as messed up as I was. Whatever he tells you, you do that. See, but that's what he told me to do. Well, it took several weeks, and to be honest with you, I did it for months. But we started seeing results just after several weeks. Got caught up on our bills. So that kind of brings us up to where we were last night. That was pretty good. What, 5 minutes? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, what I want to talk about tonight is this. Ministers that are called full-time. We have a good pattern in the Old Testament from the Levites and the priests of pretty much how God is going to take care of us. One way or another, normally it's through offerings from the people. Because when he calls people full-time, he doesn't want us working in the world. We're supposed to be giving our full attention to the Word of God and to prayer, so that when the people do come, we've got his mind and we've got his anointing to meet their need. Isn't that right? But see, my heart has always been all these promises that are in the Word of God for the sheep. Your average, normal believer who really isn't called to the fivefold ministry. What is God's real mind for them? How does he intend to prosper them? See? Well, I got a clue. It's good to get a clue. I got to back up a little. I got to share this one thing with you because this will apply to you whether you're called full-time to ministry or whether you're not, whether you're just called to be part of the body wherever you are. During that period of time before we started the breakthrough financially, I mean, I was dotting the I's, I was crossing the T's, I was doing everything I knew to do, trying to get this prosperity stuff working. You understand? Can anybody relate? Wouldn't you if you was in my boat? Okay. One day the Holy Ghost, everyone say the Holy Ghost. I was minding my own business, praying in other tongues. Glory to God. Just minding my own business, praying in other tongues. And the Holy Ghost showed up. Now the Holy Ghost is not churchy at all. And he's not religious at all. And he'll get right where you live. And here's what he said to me. When he said this, I about fell out of my chair. He said, and I'm going to use Norval Hayes' voice because normally when I hear the Holy Ghost, I hear it in Norval Hayes' voice. I meditated. I listened to Norval's tape so much in those early days that the Holy Ghost, to get my attention still yet, well, a lot of times, speak in Norval's voice. I'll hear it on the inside of me like that. Here I was, you know, trying to believe God and trying to obey these instructions, and we were getting further in debt every day, getting further behind on the bills. I'm telling you, it was not working. Do you understand me? According to all natural. And I was doing everything my mind, you know. And the Holy Ghost said, this thought never went through the mind of Jesus, not ever once during his ministry on earth. And I'm waiting for the thought. Well, you know, okay, what is it? Here's the thought. Never went through his mind. Not once, ever. What must I do today to get my Father to bless me? Now, when he said that, I about fell out of my chair. Because at that moment, my entire life was consumed with what must I do today to get my Father to bless me? I about fell out of my chair. I had never heard, how many of you have ever heard anything like that in church? I never had heard nothing like that. Holy Ghost come up and tell you something like that. And I went, well, how did he think? That sounds like a reasonable question to me. Well, how did he think? Said he believed he was a son and an heir. Why don't you believe that? I mean, that'll make you take about 5 steps backwards real quick, you know, get on your face and repent. Because most of us, bless our hearts now, and I'm us, you notice us, I'm in his now, don't throw any rocks. Most of us, we are just so works oriented. It's so hard for us to believe that Jesus has already done it all. He's already paid the price. See, that scripture, 2 Corinthians 8:9, we emphasize that in one of the meetings. That is the foundation scripture for all Christian prosperity. See, if you don't have your foundation right, your house is not built good. Your financial house in the kingdom is not going to stand when the storm comes. If your foundation is your giving, you're on the wrong foundation. That would be like saying, Jesus, you ought to let me into heaven because I always forgave everybody. Now, it's true we ought to always forgive everybody. But that's not what's going to get you into heaven, is it? It's the work that Jesus did for you on the cross. Based on the fact that he bore your sin and you have been forgiven. As an outgrowth from that, we forgive, right? But the fact that we forgive is not going to get us into heaven. All right? In the same way that he bore your sin, 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, on that same cross, at that same time, when they stripped him of every earthly possession, even his clothes, he bore your poverty. That you, through his poverty, not your giving, through his poverty, might be rich. Now our giving, see, that's the foundation. The poverty that Jesus bore for you on the cross. Now, if we're going to run that parallel exactly, when he bore your sins, did that open you up to just a small portion of the Father's forgiveness? Or did you receive complete forgiveness? He opened you up completely to the Father's forgiveness. Isn't that right? I mean, God didn't reserve part of it and say, well, I forgive you in every area but that. Right? Okay? Well, in the same way, if he bore your poverty so he could open up the resources of the Father. How much of the resources did he open up to us? Why is it that you ever worry about your bills at all? How is that possible? How are we going to make... I know that, Brother Gary, but how am I going to... I mean, that's fine. But do you understand my car payment's due Friday? And I don't have the money. Do you understand that? Have you thought about, now here's a novel thought, obeying Jesus. Jesus said when you need something, he said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. No, it can't be that simple. No, it can't be that simple. I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to dot my I's, I got to cross my T's. It cannot be simply by grace. Let's see now, 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Grace and grace alone. I don't take my giving list to God anymore and say, please bless me because of my works. You missed a good place to go, Al, right there. I used to do that all the time, not realizing that's what I was doing. Now, my giving is simply, here's another way of putting it to impact your mind. Most people, I did it for years, giving, trying to get my Father to bless me. You could put it this way, giving, trying to get, you could put it this way. Giving, trying to get rich. How about putting it this way? Jesus already made you rich. Now, what do rich people that love God do at offering time? They give. Hallelujah. Now, that was the thing. He had to switch my foundation first from all those formulas and all of my giving. And actually, for a while, he just completely separated my thinking. All I could think about was my Jesus on that cross. I'd seen him as Savior. I'd seen him bearing my sin. I had seen him at this point as my healer, taking those stripes, bearing my sickness and my pain and my disease on that cross. I'd seen him as Jesus, my healer. But I had never seen him as Jesus, my provider, until the Holy Ghost opened that up to me. And it started when I, you know, those paintings that we have on all of our Sunday school walls of Jesus on the cross, for our sensibility's sake, you know, they always have a little loincloth, you know. Y'all know, really, they didn't even give him that. I mean, the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, came down and let them even strip him of his dignity in that sense, because he intended for you to be able to have every need met free by the Father's grace for your entire life. No wonder Paul said and Peter said, casting the whole of your care upon him, for he careth for you. No wonder Paul wrote to his partners in Philippi and said, I like the way the Amplified says it. It says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And let your thanksgiving be made known unto God. Isn't that something? And yet we go around worrying about our bills. The best thing you could do, rather than ever worry about anything like that again, is go spend about an hour worshiping the Father for the fact that Jesus bore your poverty on the cross. Jesus will become to you what you say he is. If you want to, you know, the church I was raised in, they had a real good relationship with Jesus, the Savior. They'd get you saved. And you could call Jesus your Savior in that church, and he'd become your Savior, and you would be saved. Then as Brother Hagin says, I received the gift of speaking in other tongues. I received the left foot of fellowship from them and come over amongst the Pentecostals. And the next thing I found out about was Jesus, my healer. And I began to call Jesus my healer. I began to see that Jesus, well, I didn't know you're my healer. Now, you are my healer. I worship you that you're my healer. I hope after tonight you'll understand that Jesus is your provider. See? And if you'll start worshiping him and calling him your provider and understand that he didn't do that for no reason. Why did he come from heaven where they have jasper walls and diamond doorknobs, streets made with gold? Why did he come from there to let them humiliate him, strip him completely of every earthly possession on that cross? Why? So you could have 100% confidence that when you ask the Father, he will answer you. You never have to worry that the longest day you live that a need of yours might be met, might not be met, if you can believe it. That's all there is to it, if you can believe that. Because this whole thing works by faith. One of my favorite messages, which I'm just going to touch on tonight, is working on the part of you that believes. John 6:29, I believe it is, the people asked Jesus. They said, what must we do to work the works of God? And I love Jesus's. Well, let's just turn there. That's just too good. You need to see that in your own Bible. You know, I like it when there's one thing to do and not 12. I figure if I can find one thing that works and I can stick with that, I've got it made. John 6:29. Yes, that's the verse. We'll start in verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? How many of y'all want the works of God operating in your life? You want to be able to, I mean, all that stuff that Jesus said, everything, cast out devils, heal the sick, glory to God, take up serpents, you know. raise the dead, you know? How about finance the next revival in Japan? That's a work of God too, you know? God liked it. You know, he's got a lot of humble poor folks now. He really does. He got a lot of prideful poor folks too. But you know what God would really like to have in this last day to do the work that he's wanting to get done in the earth? He'd really like to have some humble, rich folks. So that when God comes and says, what's your name, sir? Rick? When God comes and, cause Rick learned about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and he started calling Jesus his provider, worshiping Jesus for being his provider, and spent those hours praying in other tongues where the Holy Ghost could start delivering the mind of Christ to him. So he just understood all of a sudden how you make millions. And so, you know, but see, the thing of it is that process purges you to the point that when the Lord comes, he says, Rick, Pastor Dave in Tulsa needs $10 million to do it, because I've told him to do a revival in Japan. Now, what God's looking for is when he comes to Rick like that, Rick doesn't have to fast and pray about it for 3 years before he's willing to do it. He says, oh, you want $10 million? Not a problem, Lord. And he writes, or however much the Lord says, he just writes out the check, see? And, you know, let's say he had $50 million in the bank, and the Lord comes and says, I need $50 million. Now, even Rick is purged. Y'all see Rick here, how purged he is, and how, my, how you know? But even Rick now, if he has $50 million, and God comes and says, I want $50 million. Now, even Rick, he might swallow his Adam's apple for a moment there, you know, and say, Lord, that's all I've got. And the Lord says, that's all I asked for. Do we have a problem here? I didn't ask you to put it on your Visa card or anything, you know? But see, now the man that's walking with God and knows God, he knows how he got the $50 million. It didn't make a lick of difference. Now, just to show you how messed up we are again. See, the whole thing about, the tithe is the Lord's. Listen, I know the tithe is the Lord's. Let me tell you something, though. That is Old Testament thinking, and if you're still thinking like that, you're still a little ways away from the way God thinks right now. Honey, let me tell you something. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. The 10% is not his. It's all his. He said to Peter, he says, Peter, here's how you're going to die, to glorify me. You know? And Peter goes, he's looking around at John. Well, what about John? Misery loves company, you know. And Jesus said, Peter, what's that to you? If it's my desire that John live till I come. Now, Jesus knew that'd be over 2,000 years when he said that. He said, if it's my desire that John live till I come, what's that to you, Peter? You follow me. We don't have that kind of thinking. We don't think like that. See, why does it make a difference? If the Lord tells me, son, this is your last message, tonight you're coming home. Preach this one real good because it's your last one. It won't do for me to go, what about LaRue? You know? You know? That won't do any good, see? You know, because the whole deal is, you know, my job is to follow, obey the Lord myself. Now, see, we've all tried to operate financially in the kingdom, and I'm just going now. I'm just going to do what the Holy Ghost says. We're all, did I ever do John 6:29? Oh, God. I got close. Well, hang on. We'll be back in a minute. Hallelujah. See, why does God always refer to himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? You ever notice he does that all the time? I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. And I am the God of Jacob. At our meeting today, we talked a little bit about how differently God prospered Isaac than he did Abraham. And if we had time, we'd talk about how differently God prospered Jacob than he did Isaac or Abraham. The reason God does that, he is a personal, one-on-one God. He is God. He's your God. So what he's saying when he says that, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of George. I am the God of Don. I am the God of Sandy. I am the God of LaRue. And I will lead you myself. I am your God. You do what I say, and what is that to you, what I tell him? Amen. I'd rather have a formula. You know, people go, hey, wouldn't it be easier just to put my little in the bucket and, you know, shandalai, shandalai, and I'll be blessed, you know? You know? You know, and I can go watch the ball game or whatever it is you like to do, you know? See, we don't realize it, but all that time that we're trying to get those formulas to work, see, if we could do that, then that would relieve us of the obligation of having to spend time with the Lord himself. Have an ongoing relationship with him. Where he says, walk, you know, the Bible says, you'll hear a voice behind you say, this is the way. Walk you in it. Now see, that's what he did with Peter. He said, Peter, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. And by the way, here's how your death is going to glorify me. Now, Peter, that's the way. Walk ye in it. What about John? I'll talk to John myself. What's that to you? I'm your God, Peter. You follow me. Is that good stuff or what? Hallelujah. See, the reason I'm here is because God said, come. When I met LaRue, and we got to spend that little bit of time at the restaurant talking, he said some things that I know you can't get any other way but by prayer. You don't get the kind of stuff he was telling me out of books. You don't get it from listening to somebody's cassette. You get it from praying in the Holy Ghost, and you don't get it any other way. And I'm going, this man prays. And then when he started sharing with me the vision that God's put on his heart, basically that vision is to provide the finances, one way, both himself and through training others, to fuel the combines, to harvest the souls for the last day revival. Now that's the mind of God. And I knew it was when I heard him say it. And I knew God was talking to him. You cannot counterfeit revelation. I mean, you can parrot it. But you cannot counterfeit it. You've either got it or you don't got it. You know or you don't know. You talked to Jesus or you didn't talk to Jesus. You heard from him or you didn't hear from him. And we'll know because we'll watch the fruit. By the fruit, you'll know. See? Now, you can counterfeit somebody else's message. See, just the fact that everything I'm telling you works for me, and even though I speak precisely and clearly and you understand precisely and clearly, when you leave here tonight, that does not mean it will work for you. You yourself need to talk to your Lord yourself. Get in your prayer closet. Humble yourself under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who has been sent precisely to bring you the mind of Christ for your individual life so that Jesus can be your God and lead you step by step. We quoted Isaiah 48:17 several times where Jesus, the Redeemer, says, I am your God that teaches you to profit and leads you in the way you should go. If you'll spend time with the Holy Spirit, he's been sent precisely to bring you the mind of Christ for your individual life. And all of that wondering you've been doing all those years, am I called to this? Am I called to that? Or let's say, should I get involved in this business? Should I not get involved in that business? Should I get involved in that over there? All of those things, that is exactly what the Holy Spirit is here to teach you. But you'll never find out if you don't spend time with him. John 6:29, you thought I forgot, didn't you? This is the work of God. And I like, if you write in your Bible, I would circle the word the, because it's so singular. If you're not doing this, you can forget everything else. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Now, I like to phrase it like this. This is the work of God. And let me put it this way. Nothing you can do, either even with your forgiving, giving other people, even with your giving, if you was to lay your life down and be a martyr, I don't care what you do, you cannot add anything to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it all. He's paid it all. It's all free by grace. Your work is to believe it. Your work is to believe it. And that's all your work is. This is the singular work of God that you believe everything that Jesus did for you. You say, well, I've heard it. I believe it. What's that big growth hanging off your chin there? See? Now, or you could say, and let's use me. I'll be the fall guy. I believe it, Lord. I believe your prosperity message. I do believe it. Hallelujah. Yes, you called me full time to the ministry. Then, son, if you believe it, why are you 3 months behind on your bills? We'll just use me. And he's going, now here's a wake up call. I didn't believe it either. I wanted to believe it. Aaron wanted me to believe it because things were kind of tight at our house, you know. Sue wanted me to believe this. Our car wanted me to believe this. I'm telling you, my clothes wanted me to believe. Everything wanted me to believe it. And I was trying to believe it. See? But it doesn't say anything about trying to believe it. It says, your work is to believe. It helps me to do it like this. Let's say on the inside of our spirit, man, let's just use our chest area here for benefit of the tape, that somewhere in there besides lungs and a heart and all of those other things, there is a thing in us that its function is it believes. Okay, now if I had a heart that was not correctly pumping blood, I could go to a doctor, they could work on that thing and make it pump blood better. Let's talk about this thing that's not believing correctly. I mean, it's just not it's believing some, but it's just not believing enough. It's not believing, okay? Well, if that's the case with me, and I think it is with most of us in just different areas, my only work, according to Jesus, the only thing God will accept from me is to work on the part of me that believes until I do believe it. Now, he's given us some tools to help us do that. Matthew chapter 6 is full of it. One of them, let me just do it this way. We're not going to go to Matthew 6. We just don't have time. Let me do it this way. God's already given you what to believe. He has given you what he believes in word form. See, anytime you don't know what to believe, you can check here in this book and find out what God believes. Now, here's my definition of faith. Here's the Gary Carpenter definition of faith. When you believe what God already believes, that's called faith. He gave me a vision this time. Gave me a vision like this one time. When I was trying to understand and believe for prosperity, one day, I mean, you know, again, the Holy Ghost is not very churchy and he's not very religious at all, He came to me and he said, now this time speaking of the Father, he says, I got a revelation for you. I really am El Shaddai. And all of a sudden, it was just so simple to me. Here's God in heaven. If you read Isaiah, here's a paraphrase of Isaiah. God's making fun of the people that make idols. You know, he says, here they're carving out idols and gods out of stone that can't talk. These stones, these idols, they can't see. They can't do anything. He says, let me give you all a clue, because I know you're on earth and I'm in heaven. I'm looking around heaven for you. Sure enough, there's no other God. If you read Isaiah, that's what he's telling them. You know, and he's saying, I'm God. I really am El Shaddai. I am Jehovah Jireh. See, God already believes that. Let me ask you this. Do you think God the Father thinks the stripes on Jesus' back is enough to get you healed? You think he believes that? Now see, when you believe that, like he believes that, that's called faith, and the Holy Ghost will manifest your healing. If your believer is not operating correctly, the only thing to do is reprogram it with what God thinks. That's all. I'm an engineer by training. It's just very simple. Reprogram that rascal. Well, how do you do that? One real good way is start agreeing with God. If he says, if his word says, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, how about putting that in your mouth for a couple, 3 hours a day and start reprogramming that part of you that believes? When you believe that like God believes that, then the Holy Ghost can manifest that in your life. Amen? You see, is that simple or what? We've made faith so hard, and all it really is just reprogramming us till we believe what he already believes. When that happens, that's called faith, that's all. That's why the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You could phrase it like this. Faith comes by hearing what God believes. Your only thing is just to agree with what he believes, that's all. Well, put it in your mouth and start worshiping him that's truth, even though presently in your circumstances it doesn't look that way. But see, God cannot lie. That's the thing about God. What he says in his word, he can't lie about it. How many of you know I can? See, that's why we have a heart. How many knows you can? Not that you would, but you have the capacity. The thing about God, he has not the capacity. He has not even, you know, we have a hard time relating to a God that cannot lie, because we know we can. See? But he can't. So whatever he says, now there's something natural in human beings that when we say something that does not agree with our present circumstances, we call that a lie. And that's why it's hard for people to begin calling those things that be not as though they were. When you're 3 months behind on your bills, see, you were told by your parents, don't lie. Amen? Can I get it? Let me see your hands here. How many of your parents told you don't lie? So here, see, your circumstances are, you're 3 months behind on your bills. Okay? But the Word of God says, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So now you're looking at that, and you're looking at your circumstances, and there's something in you that it's hard to let those words come out of your mouth, because to you it's a lie. It does not agree with my present circumstances. But now here's the thing. God can't lie. If you're saying what he's already said, how could that be a lie? Did you get that? It's real quiet. So the thing to do is accept the fact God can't lie. First thing I'm going to have to do is get in agreement with him. And I'll start saying his word out of my mouth. Now, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. Now, well, here's one reason why. When you start letting the word of God come out of your mouth in any area, his whole job, once that faith connection is made and you believe what God believes, the Holy Spirit, his job is to make that truth come to pass in your life. And your life, your circumstances will change, because the Holy Spirit will line them up to agree with the truth that's coming out of your mouth. Is that good stuff or what? See, that's good stuff. And the thing about that is, see, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're smart, whether you're dumb, anybody can speak God's word. Anybody can do it. Just put it in your mouth and start saying it till you think like he thinks. He's already given us what he believes in seed form. That's one of my favorite messages. I can go longer, but that's called working on the part of you that believes until you believe it. Now, we were talking a while ago about the world. Oh, okay. Here's where I got to bring it in. While we were worshiping tonight, y'all, some of you might have noticed I reached into my briefcase and I picked up this. This is a prophecy. Now, the Lord very seldom uses me like this, but right before the first of this year, he said, I teach a Bible study on Thursday nights in Tulsa. And he said, I don't want you to teach tonight. Don't make any notes. Don't even take your Bible in there. He says, I want to talk to my people myself. Now, he's prophesied through me before, you know, like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, 5 minutes, something like that. This went on for an hour and 20 minutes that night. Now, don't ever be moved by what you see, because that night it was supernatural. We normally, well, right now we're running like, last Thursday night we had 47 people at this Bible study, meets in our home. At that time we were probably averaging around 20, something like that, 26. That night, we had 5 people. Now, you think that's not the devil? We had five people. Now, I always tell everybody the main reason, the number one reason the Lord uses me at all is because I don't have no quitting sense. If the Lord says he wants to talk to his people, I figure, well, he wanted to talk to these five. I was tempted for a moment, well, we'll just teach another Bible lesson or something like that. But no, I just went ahead, I delivered it, hour and 20 minutes, with five people there. I made those five tapes, gave them copies, they left, and I said, Lord, I'm through. Now, if you want to do anything else with that, now when I heard it coming out of my mouth, oh, I knew it was God. I knew it was important. But I said, Lord, I'm done. I did what you told me. Now, if you want to do anything else with that, it's up to you. I want you to know, without going into a lot of detail, he has spread this prophecy from coast to coast. One of the ways he did it, just quickly. Now, when the Lord's in control, just don't worry about it. He'll get done what he wants done. I got a call from a lady in Van Buren, Arkansas, 75 years old. She says, I have a copy of a copy of a copy of a tape. She said, is your name Gary Carpenter? I said, yes, it is. So, well, I have this copy of a copy of a copy of a tape that one of my friends gave me. It doesn't even have a label on it. It's just a blank tape. I mean, you know, there's no label. There's a prophecy on there. Could that be you that did that? I said, yeah, that's me. I said, how did you get my phone number? There's no label on the tape. She said, I had to work through I had to work like a detective going upstream through my friends. You know, where did you get your copy? Well, so-and-so gave it to me. And so she called him. And the only thing she could ever find out was Gary Carpenter, Tulsa, Oklahoma. So she just started calling all the Gary Carpenters in the phone book till she got me. She and her husband, they're 75 years old, sweetest people. I've never met them yet, but I've talked with them so much now, I feel like I know them. Sweet, wonderful people. But they publish a Christian newspaper that goes to 20 states. And she said, while I was listening to that prophecy, she said, it's the Lord. He wants me to publish this. Could I have your permission? And I said, well, certainly. I don't have any copyright on the Word of God. So it went out that way. She wrote me later and said that has been the most requested newspaper that they've ever had since they've had this thing going. Churches have called and asked for reprints in the hundreds of that prophecy. Many people have gotten saved from the prophecy. Now, the reason I said all that is not to exalt me. I'm just trying to tell you how the Lord works. If he says prophesy an hour and 20 minutes to a rabbit... If that's what he said, do it. Okay? Now, my whole prosperity message, if you want to bring it down to one sentence, is this. I have learned my lesson well, you guys. Can those formulas. Spend time with him. And now here's prosperity. You ready? If you write anything down tonight, write this down. Don't miss this. I think you've already got it. Here's my only prosperity formula. Whatever he says to you, do it. That will prosper. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, here's the rub with that. Here's the rub. In order to hear what he says to you, you're going to have to spend time with him. Oh, that's hard on the flesh. Yeah, that's why it says it's through the Spirit that you mortify that rascal. You get yourself in that prayer closet anyway. And you pray until you hear the voice of the Lord. And then you do whatever he tells you. And I guarantee you that that's going to work. That's going to prosper. Not only did he do that prophecy that way, a friend of mine happened to be in Evangel Temple. That's a really good church in Tulsa if you've never been there. Can't remember the pastor's name right now. Pastor Beller. Pastor Beller's there. The first time we ever attended there, Oral Roberts was sitting behind us about four rows back. Think it's a good church? He came just to listen. I love Oral. Man. But anyway, a friend of mine happened to be in their office one day when this, and he had read the prophecy. He knew about it. He happened to be in there when this prophecy came in on their fax machine. We none of us know how. You know, I mean, he has spread this thing from coast to coast. Now, here's why I wanted to to there's just a portion of it. When we were worshiping tonight, the Lord says, I want you to read this part. Now, he says a lot of things. This thing typewritten is 8 pages. Now, he got to this part, and he said, the most important word that I say to you tonight, says the Lord, return unto me with your love. I do not want to hear your words of love as you give your life somewhere else. I want your life, not your words. Give me your love, return to that first love, and spend time with me, says the Lord. I am saying this to spare you from the wrong side of the judgments that are coming. Be ye not partakers with them. He says, give me time, give me time, give me time, says the Lord. Love not your house more than me. Love not your family more than me. Love not the world more than me. Love not diversions more than me. Those who do such things cannot be my disciples. I did not say they would not go to heaven, but they will not be trained, they will not be disciplined, and they will suffer much during those times to come shortly, shortly upon the earth. Now, how about that sentence where he says, I do not want to hear your words of love as you give your life somewhere else. Isn't that something? The Lord wants to be your personal God. He wants to talk with you. Isaiah 48:17, I am the Lord that teaches you to profit and leads you in the way that you should go. But he'll only do it with those, for those that spend time with him. Hallelujah. Is this the doggondest prosperity seminar you ever come to or what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay, one other thing that he instructed me to do. I started off saying, those of us in ministry, we have a pretty good picture, even from the Old Testament, of how God intends to provide for us. And it's normally through the giving of the people. My heart cry to God has been, how are you going to prosper the people? Now we have, and I'm going to be real nice, we've promised them the moon and the stars if they'll only give to our ministry. And we leave them, I think, with, I mean, these are people that have jobs and they're raising children and they're buying formula and Pablum and you know, all of the things that go with daily life. And we've read them the mighty promises out of the Word of God, Luke 6:38, Malachi 3:10. And I guess we leave them with the impression that somehow God is going to come and give them favor on their jobs and things, you know, and they'll get raises. And we don't really seem to go into that very much in detail. You know why? Nobody knows. They've not spent any time with the Holy Ghost to find out how God does intend to do it. Well, God told me when I started asking him about this and many hours praying in other tongues, he said, if you want to see how, now he used the phrase the common man. What he meant by that is just people that's not called to the fivefold. Okay? He says, if you want to know how I prosper the common man, then you need to study those for whom it's working. And I said, fine, who's that? He said, study the book of Philippians. Now the passage that LaRue read tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where he says, brethren, I would have you know of the grace of God bestowed on the brothers of Macedonia. Whether or not you know that, whether you know this or not, that is the Philippians. That's the Philippians. He says, when I left Macedonia, no other church but you communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, you only. And even in Thessalonica, twice you sent unto my needs. When he left where? Macedonia. So when he's talking there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 about these people who started off in deep poverty in a great trial of affliction, yet eventually it says the grace of God turned that to the liberality of their giving. Something happened to these people. And they went from deep poverty and great affliction where they couldn't give that something about the grace of God. That's the chapter where he says, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Something about that revelation so affected these normal believers in Macedonia that they became Paul's number one supporters of the gospel. Would you like to know what that was? For additional tapes by Gary Carpenter, go ahead and open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Now, how does LaRue do that? I'm beginning my closing now. That means absolutely nothing at all. Hallelujah. Any more at the Bible study when I say now in closing, you know, we have hilarious laughter now, you know. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything at all. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 1, when we start, it'll be in verse 9. Whether you know this or not, the book of Philippians, you know what I mean when I say a response letter? God, even though we don't take up offerings, see what God told me was, he said, if I would precisely obey those instructions, by that I mean take up no offerings, give the tapes away free, pay the postage and all of that. He said, if you'll do that, son, he said, I'll speak to the hearts of the people I choose to support both you and the work of the ministry. And he's been doing exactly that. We don't ever even mention our needs. We just do what he tells us. I ask him, since y'all weren't here, let me tell you, you know, I mean, it gets crazy. When I needed a laser printer, 7 o'clock in the morning, I said, Father, I need a laser printer. I'm asking you for one. 7 o'clock in the morning. 2 o'clock in, and nobody knew about that request but me and God. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, a man knocks on my door. He's got one under his arm. Says, God told me you need a laser printer. You want me to help you hook it up? God sent me 2 computers, a laptop, you know, a laptop. Those things sell for, that one I think new at the time was around $1,800, you know. How long does it take to save up $1,800, you guys? You know, God just, we got in from a meeting one night, it was about 11 o'clock, there was 2 messages on the thing. The guy says, I know it's late, he says, but do you have time to, I got to leave town early in the morning, could you run over to my house for just a few minutes? And I said, now? He said, yeah. Okay. He had bought himself a new laptop that day. And when he, you know, was asking the Lord what to do with the old one, the Lord said, give it to Gary. Had I asked the Lord for a laptop? Oh, yeah. I'd been thanking him for it every day for several months. And the devil kept saying I was stupid for doing that. But I'm the one that keeps getting the laptops. I don't think I'm going to quit. I'd have a hard time remembering all the stuff that, you know, not only has God provided our needs like that, he's gotten us completely out of debt, something I couldn't accomplish in 30 years working in the workforce. I mean everything, car, credit cards, everything, completely out of debt. It's wonderful. I'm telling you, it's wonderful. He is that real. I like to do this every now and then. I've never done it with this kind of a microphone, but everybody stretch out your right arm. Okay, now reach with your left arm and touch that. Touch your own arm. You can feel that, right? Tangible. Solid. Now say this with me. Say, Jesus is more real than my right arm. You ought to say that till it just explodes at your toes. Because he really is. By definition, the Creator is more real than the created. And if you can feel that right arm, let me assure you, Jesus is more real than that. And when you pray in his name, the Father will answer you. Is that good stuff? Hallelujah. You thought I forgot about Philippians, didn't you? Glory to God. Remember, what I wanted to know how, God, how you do it. How do you do this? What did you do really with these Philippians to change them from their deep affliction and their great poverty? Which, when the Bible says something is deep affliction and great poverty, it was. Now, I mean, these people were in bad shape. Yet, something about finding out the grace of God turned them around again to where they became Paul's. How would you like to have been Paul's number one financial supporter? See, the reward for the guy that preaches the revival is no different from the reward for the guy who financed it. Paul says, how shall they preach lest they be sent? You've got preachers. and you've got cinders. And they're both just as necessary. Can the head say to the foot, I have no need of thee? And the reward's the same. I would love to have been the guy who wrote the checks out to send to Paul. And see, what Philippians is Paul's response letter. A man named Epaphroditus. Paul is in prison when he wrote this letter. And a man named Epaphroditus brought a large gift from the Philippians to Paul. See, we have it real easy today. People can wire you money. They can mail you a check. It's very simple. Epaphroditus, I studied it out one time, traveled over 800 miles to do this. Some of it by land, some of it by sea. If he went directly there and came directly back, which I don't think he did, but if he did that, it probably took 4 months of his life. And you got to see this part. I want you to see what Paul said about that work. This isn't what I was going to read, but this is free. There's no extra charge. Talking about Epaphroditus, going over to chapter 2. Starting in verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness. Now notice, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me. Now in plain English, let's say it like this. Because for the work of Christ it nearly cost him his life, and he was willing to do it in order to bring that gift from you to me. Whether you realize it or not, Paul says supplying the money to preachers is a work of Christ. Did you see that in there? Do you see that? Look at verse 30 again. For the work of Christ. Paul knew he was doing the work of Christ, don't you think so? It takes money to do the work. And Epaphroditus, can you imagine your preacher? Okay, George is a pastor. Let's say we're back in those days and he comes to Rick here again, because Rick wants to be that millionaire. And he says, Rick, we support the work of Paul, the apostle. He's in prison. We've gathered up an offering. It's dangerous, this mission. But we would like you to go and to carry this money to help finance the work that Paul is doing for God. Now, we're warning you ahead of time. We don't have checks, in those days. You're going to have to actually carry the gold on you. You're going to be in peril of thieves. It's going to take at least 2 months to get there and 2 months to get back. Part of it's going to be on the high seas, and there may be storms and bad weather. We don't know. That's probably how he got sick. It may cost you your life, but we feel that the work of Christ comes first. Are you willing to do that? Take 4 months out of your life. Now, folks, that is an offering to God. Now you're starting to talk about an offering to God. Not tipping God with your little whatever, plunk it in the bucket, and that tip from God frees you up to continue operating in strife and unforgiveness with your neighbors because you bought God off. What a difference in heart between Epaphroditus and what normally is going on in most church offerings. What a difference. Absolute difference. Gary, how did you get onto that? It's God. I don't even worry about those rabbit trails anymore. Somebody needed to hear it. I like hearing it. Getting back to the believers. And this is my second attempt at closing. My second attempt. Hallelujah. Again, my question to God was, how did you do it with these Philippians? What happened? Really? Now, I know the end result. I know they became the number one givers, God. I'm an engineer. You know that. I take clocks apart because I like to see how they work. I want to know, how did you do it? Because I need to tell people how you're going to do it with them. We got to have some kind of clue as to how you do it. When I kept meditating this. He told me to study Philippians. I started reading Philippians over and over again. I just read it all the way through, praying in other tongues. I'd come back, I'd read it again, praying in other tongues. I'd read the whole book, praying in other tongues. I can't even tell you dozens of times I did this. Finally, the Holy Ghost arrested my attention at Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And suddenly it dawned on me, and this I pray. Pray? Now, wait a minute. I know I pray for my partners, those that send in offerings, you know. We don't ever ask for them, but some people just do. Well, hey, if you're out there like we're out there, you pray for your partners. And I just noticed this. Paul is praying for his partners in this response letter. That's what this is. He's responding back to them. He's having Epaphroditus take this letter back. And I found out Paul's praying something for them. Now, in the King James, this is a very difficult passage. It says, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Now, what in the world does that mean? That you may approve things that are excellent. So what I did, I went through there word by word, went to the original Greek language, and I took, and if we had time, which we don't, you know, I break down every word for you, but I took the actual meaning. I even went to the roots of those words to find out the meanings, and I prayed in other tongues. I am going to guess the better part of 3 days. Now, I slept some in there. But I wanted to know what this meant. And I kept reading it, and I kept looking at these definitions, and I'd read it, and I'd pray in other tongues. And I kept that process over and over. Finally, one day, I started hearing the voice of the Holy Ghost, and all I did was take dictation. The best that I can tell, this is what the Spirit of God meant in that prayer of Paul's. I pray that as your love for Jesus increases, that you will increasingly come to know him better. You will come to understand what he is doing in the earth and become even more of a participant in his plans, his purposes, and his pursuits. The mind of Christ himself will come to have an ever increasingly powerful influence in every area of your life. Your greater depth of acquaintance with him will result in more comprehensive discernment regarding what to get involved in and what not to get involved in. You will be able to test various potential endeavors with the very mind, the thinking processes of Christ, to determine which of them contain the highest and best potential for accomplishing his plans in the earth. By this process, you will remain sincere, unalloyed, pure, and single-minded in serving Jesus and not mammon. That purity and single-mindedness will both keep you from stumbling into the world's way of thinking, which is the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things, and it will keep others from stumbling also. And my friend, that is prospering by relationship, not formula. That is prospering by relationship and not formula. Paul is praying for them that they get to know Jesus. He says, I pray that as your love for him increases, you get to know what he's thinking. You will start having communication between yourself and him. You will know what you're supposed to get involved in and what you're not supposed to get involved in. Lord, have you called me to be a real estate person? Have you called me to be a fireman? Have you called me to be a preacher? What have you called me to be, Lord? Now, whatever he says back to you, do that, and that will prosper. But Paul was praying the same thing for them that God taught me on how to prosper. Spend time with him till I get to know his voice. Do what he says. That will prosper. Isn't that something? Have you ever heard a prayer like that out of there before? I never had. I'd never heard it. You know, with me, it was just give and you shall receive. You know, good measure pressed down. Yeah, but how? It never comes around to the how, because we don't spend any time with him to find out how. His whole thing, the God that presses, the thing that presses God's button, if you will, the thing that pleasures God, is when you come and say, what is it that you want me to be for you? What is it, God? I'm yours. I'm not my own. My life belongs to you. I'm bought with a price. My life belongs to you. What is it, God, that you want to do with my life? You want to press God's hot button? You start talking to him like that? You start calling Jesus your provider and see him on that cross bearing your poverty? You start calling Jesus your provider like that and worshiping God that he did all that for you? And pray in other tongues. Give the Holy Spirit some time to deliver the mind of Christ from him to you. It will be said, if you do that, it will be said of you like it was said in days of old. Of all the things that Jesus did through you, if it was all written down, the world could not contain the books therein. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you ever get him really working in your life, they'll be writing books about you. All the stuff that God did through you. Wouldn't that be something? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's give him praise for a minute. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. We worship you. Oh, we love you, Jesus, and worship you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Father, I'm praying for every person here tonight. Lord, this is Monday night in Houston, United States of America. Lord, you know and they know that there's 10,000 things these people could be doing tonight. They chose on purpose to come hear your voice. Now, Father, I know already that it's not going to be in vain. I know that they heard your voice tonight. Now, Father, by your anointing right now, I pray, Lord, that you sink this message down deep, penetrate rocks, penetrate past thorns, penetrate past the cares of this life, penetrate all of that. I declare with my mouth that this seed goes into good soil. I say they won't be able to get away from it the rest of all the days of their life, Father. I declare they will remember. They must hear their God. They must hear their God themselves. And Lord, remind them, woo them by your Spirit to spend time with you. Because that's really the only path that leads anywhere in your gospel. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit who never sleeps and never slumbers. If they try and run from this message, preach it to them again in their sleep. Get them, Jesus. They came. Get them, Lord. They came. They gave you permission to move in their life because they're here. Now get them. Get them, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're still a fisherman. You still know how to catch them. Get them, Lord. Hallelujah. Me too, Jesus. If I ever start walking away from this, get me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I do thank you so much for these people. Lord, I know it is no accident, every person that's here. And I'm speaking to those who are not here that will hear this message by tape. If this tape gets into your hand, you might as well know right now you're called of God to do this. Hallelujah. God knows those who have seeking hearts. And if this tape is in your hand, it's because you've been asking for more of him in your life. Now, if you'll yield to the message, even you that weren't here but hear it by tape, the same God will become, He'll not only be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, He'll be your personal God. He will teach you how to profit, and He will lead you in the way that you should go. Father, for all of this, I give you praise, and all the people give you praise and amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God, praise your name.